Good to be with you this morning. How are you doing? Great. Great worship, eh? Okay. I love that song, you know, Majesty. Probably one of my all-time favourite songs, Majesty. Just the words, just never get past the amazing truth that have impacted my life. And Just an amazing song. It's great to be with you. Aren't these interesting days that we're living in? They really are, aren't they? You know, just glad I'm a Christian. You know, as I've planned, I'm not sort of a guy who goes and takes a talk from the shelf. You know, and just the way I'm wired, I like to pray a whole lot about it. And I don't think, what does Old Rome Baptist Church need to hear? That's not my responsibility, that's God's responsibility. But I am committed to praying and trying to catch the essence of what God is saying. And I'd like to share that today with you. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open up your Bibles in the book of Romans, which is a great book. The book of Romans, and in chapter 1, verse 16, it says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I think these are two amazing verses. You know, I encourage congregations as I travel, and at our, the church I plant that I'm working with at the moment. And that is, you know, the word that we hear on a Sunday morning isn't just for that 30 minute or whatever piece of time that you have. There's a responsibility for each of us to take some notes. I can't multitask, Dave. I can only listen. I can't write and listen. It's amazing things that you can learn if you try. You know, or get the download or the disc or whatever it is you do here. You know, and to go back through the following week and say, God, you know, if this is your word to me, I want to look at it and I want to unwrap it and I want to find out, how do I apply it? You know, lots of church leaders, they talk about church being consumeristic. So let's not feed it. If that's true, let's not feed it. You know, and we as a congregation, we say, oh, it's very consumeristic, that church, blah, 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 blah. Well, let's make sure that we're not, eh? These verses present, I think, one of the great summaries of the gospel. You know, the gospel's lost none of its power. That's a great place to say amen. Amen. You know, it's lost none of its power. In these verses, Paul gives us a clear declaration of God's power and purpose through the gospel message. Paul's statements about the gospel begins in a bit of strange fashion. You know, when I get to heaven, I've got a list of people I want to talk to. I'm going to be there for eternity. You know, and I want to speak to Paul because I think he's a strange person. I do, you know, and that's okay, because I'm sure he's thinking right now, I'm on his list because he wants to talk to me for calling him strange. But Paul's statement, it just starts a little bit strange. The first thing he says to the readers, he says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you." To those of you in Rome, "I'm ready." Well, why do you need to say that? It's like me saying, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to those of you in Toxteth." You know, you think, well, just go and do it. Then out of the blue, he tells them, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel either." And he's like, well, is he being a bit insecure? What's he trying to say? Subliminally, is there a subliminal message there? I mean, if you look, you know, if we spend time looking around the scripture, what's he going on about? Why is he saying, "I'm not ashamed"? Why is he saying, "I'm not ashamed of this message"? That message that's so powerful. Why would anybody be ashamed of the gospel message? I wonder tomorrow when we go into work and somebody says, "Do you have a good weekend?" What were you up to over the weekend? I wonder how many of us, yeah, well, we walked the dog twice. Went to see some friends, rested a bit, back in. So, you know, if we're not excited about church and if we never ever mention it, how are people ever going to know? A little understanding about the culture that Paul was living in and ministered in will help us understand why some were ashamed of the gospel and were ashamed to preach it. Let me give you a couple of reasons. One, the moral condition of the day. Nero was the emperor of Rome. He was wicked. He was a degenerate. The city of Rome itself was a cesspool of sin and wicked living. That's the history. No, can I just say the Bible doesn't say that. History tells us that. I love history. That's what it says. The gospel Paul preached with its demands for repentance. So you can't preach the gospel without preaching repentance. Many do. See, there's a demand for repentance followed by holiness and godly living. That was completely opposed to everything that Rome stood for and represented. The fact that here you have Paul, who was a Jew. Jews at that time considered by many to be subhuman. They were despised, mistreated, made slaves. Here we have this great gospel message that originates and rose out of a Jewish background. Some Jews would have been hesitant to share this with non-Jews. Non-Jews would have been hesitant to listen to a Jewish preacher talking about a Jewish savior. The message Paul preaches is incredible and nearly beyond belief. You know, for some people, when you share the good news of Jesus to them, it'll be almost beyond belief. It'll be so opposite to their brokenness and desperate state and bleakness. It'll just sound too good. But you know, it not only is it the gospel good, it is real. The gospel is about transformation. Receive the gospel and you have to embrace the transformation. You know, I'm not the same guy I was when I got saved when I was 19. I'm not just older. My life has been transformed. I frequently see people. I'm seeing two friends that I haven't seen for 40 years in 2 weeks' time. I haven't seen them for 40 years. I'm 58, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Tough life. You know, and when I was speaking to them, they both said to me, you know, I was just an ordinary guy. They said, we thought you'd be dead. I'm like, I mean, cheers. I mean, I wasn't a Christian. I'm like, cheers, fella. You know, and I can't wait to meet them because, you know, I will ask them their story, what's going on. And then I'll tell them my story about how a savior found me. Said I didn't find Jesus. He was not lost. This savior that Paul preached and the church was preaching, he was said to be the savior of mankind. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be God and man in the same time. Not only that, this is where it gets a bit crazy, that he died. He died on a Roman cross. Nothing more shameful than to die on a Roman cross. It was a symbol of shame. In dying that shameful death, Jesus claimed to have done it in their place, in the place of sinners. It was enough for Paul to preach that this Jesus was crucified and that he was crucified to death and buried. But he then goes on to say, and he rose again. Come on, that's got to be really good news. Come on, it does not get any better than that. You know, if I said this in a pub, if I was talking to people in a pub or in a bar, they would even be excited by that. They may not say amen, they may use some other words, but I'd go for that than nothing. preached this amazing Jesus who came, lived, died, buried, and rose again for them, even while they were rejecting him. Many people could not handle these claims. They thought they were bizarre. See, the gospel is a difficult message for the lost and the prideful of this world to accept. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Is that not good? Is that not really good? I mean, I can't help but get excited about that. I just can't help but get excited about that amazing truth. See, you know, I don't talk about people being lost anymore. I talk about them perishing. And I remember some people getting offended in Frontline. I remember these lovely ladies coming over and said, "Dave, you know, and they weren't old ladies, they were just ladies. They said, we don't like it when you talk about people perishing." I said, "For years I've been talking about the lost and you've not got off your bum and done anything. At least you've got off your bum and come and complained." And they're lovely, godly women. And they do share the faith. But I'm just saying, these people are perishing. And not just people, but our people. Our families and friends and neighbours and work colleagues, you know. And we have what they need. Things haven't changed a whole lot, have they, in the world? People are still seeking something, but they're seeking in the wrong place. Just think if people looked in here, or connected with you, how they could connect with the truth. Everywhere, you know, Paul went preaching, you won't hear this preached a lot in church, okay? Everywhere that Paul went preaching the cross, everywhere he went preaching the cross, he was ridiculed, he was cast out, he was imprisoned and treated cruelly. You think, phew, good reason not to do it, eh, John? Let's just look. He was imprisoned in Philippi. He was chased out of Thessalonica. He was smuggled out of Berea. Just think, you're preaching the gospel, everything, all great things are happening, and they have to smuggle you out. He's mocked in Athens. I don't know which is worst, in reality, whether, you know, being stoned or being mocked. I'm not sure which is worst, because they're both very painful, aren't they, when you're mocked? No, okay, it's just me. Must just be my flesh or something, you know. Mocked in Athens, called a fool in Corinth, stoned in Galatia. And is it in Derby where they stone him, they throw him outside the city? Yeah. You know, and the disciples come and get him and heal him. And what does Paul say? "Yeah, we'll go next door." It goes back. You're like, "You're a crazy fool for the gospel." Paul remained eager to preach the gospel in Rome, the seat of contemporary politics and power at the time, of pagan religion. Many would not have been able to cope with that. But you know, Paul lived and walked in what he was called to do. And that's all we need to do. I'm not saying, "Oh yeah, stone me, I want to be stoned." I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying I want to be mocked. I just want to do what I'm called to do. I'm not primarily an evangelist. But I do like to talk about Jesus. With all these things in mind, Paul wanted to be clear about his commitment to the gospel message. He is committed to the gospel message because he's committed to the gospel giver. He would want these people to know, those people who were hearing, that he is a man who'd encountered, experienced this amazing love that he's talking about. It wasn't a theological or a theory thing. "I've encountered the love of Christ." And you know, if you know the Lord Jesus as your own Savior, you know, you will have your own story of how his love, how you've experienced his love. And all our stories may be different, and that's great. And if you haven't encountered him, I want you to know, whether you believe in him or not, he believes in you. So some would have been ashamed. Today, many churches and many Christians, they are ashamed of the gospel. Because they're like, "Well, we don't want to offend anybody." Who don't you want to offend? You know, have you noticed about friendship evangelism? Always majors on friendship. And not a whole lot on evangelism. Prayer evangelism, emphasis a lot on prayer. Very little on evangelism. Why don't we just love the people God has set before us? Dave, I don't know who to go to. What about the person right in front of you, the one you spend most of your day with? What did Paul know, have, that kept him passionate about sharing the gospel? He never forgot experiencing Jesus and the change and transformation it brought to his life. That's what kept him going for it. See, there is it's not about being an introvert or an extrovert. They are just two descriptions that society uses about people. You might think, well, Dave, you're a real extrovert. You don't know me. Because I need to be on my own at times. I really like my own company. We get on well. But however you are character, personality-wise, we need to know that Jesus loves us, and because he loved us, we need to love others passionately, and we need to love them enough to share the good news of Jesus with them. We have to be a gospel to be confident in. There's some marks of the gospel that I just want to comment on. You know, the gospel is powerful. So you can stutter your way through sharing your story or whatever it is with people. You know, and you may have heard me say, you know, Frontline, we devised a 4 points thing. You know, I get to the first point and like, I mean, I've got the memory of a small squirrel. And I'm like, what's the second one? You know, and I just like, God, what do you want to say to this person? And I work on that, I've got 60 seconds to say it. The gospel is powerful. Scripture says, don't worry when you're speaking. It won't be you speaking. It'll be me speaking through you. So stutter on. Just be obedient. Because the words are full with God's power, not mine. And the word power here, it's talking about a might, a strength, energy, a force that flows out to God. God could have revealed his power in so many different ways. He could have revealed his power against sin in so many different ways. He could have bring all these different judgments. But what does he do? He sends his love. This world does not need another judge. You cannot be judge and savior. Understand what I'm saying here. Jesus is the savior, but we have the savior's message. You can't be filled with judgment over here and over here want to be their savior. You can't do both. What did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come to judge the world, but to love the world, to save the world. Why should we be judge? It's a hard one, I know. I know it's hard, but there's power in the gospel. There's power in the gospel. Have confidence in it. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. I never really understood that verse for years. I just thought, you've got to love people. But when you love because you have a revelation of his love to you, it's different. It doesn't matter what they look like or smell like. It doesn't matter what their story is. It's the gospel of Christ. You know, make no mistake, there are a number of different gospels today that are being preached. This is an observation or a criticism, I hope. There's the gospel of religion that says, turn over a new leaf. That's the one, you know, where you make some improvement to the old you. But you're still the old you. You just might be a bit thinner, or you might think a bit differently, or your finances might be a bit more in order. It's a doer-upper, is the technical theological word. Oh, there's the gospel of materialism that says your worth is determined by what you have. Gain is the goal of life. You know, that gospel says, name it and claim it. That gospel that says if you have a big car and a big house, obviously God's blessing you. I know loads of people who've got big houses and big cars, and they don't even know him. That's, if we have a big house and a big car, that's, you know, praise God. We won't be taking them to heaven. And you don't say anything about the condition of my heart. There's the gospel of liberalism in it. And that is, I'm okay, you're okay. God accepts us as we are, and he's going to take us to heaven, and everything's going to be okay. Can I just say, that's not even in the Bible. It's a bit like, You know, we say, come to Jesus just as you are. It's not a full stop. You come to Jesus as you are, and you're transformed. Transformation is a process. It is not an event. And then there is the gospel of society that says, do as you please as long as you don't hurt anybody else. Do as you please, for life is short. Paul's message is not that. Paul's message is that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And unless mankind comes... that's just a warning. It wasn't the Lord. It is that, you know, unless man humbles themselves and turns to God and receives, you know, the gift of Christ, mankind is going to a lost eternity, separated from the one who created them. And God has no joy in that. But see, the church is even divided on over, is there a hell? No, you know, it's just like, read the word, it's clear. God is an amazing loving God and has done all that is necessary for whoever's to come to him. The gospel is simple and it's clear. Paul knew firsthand the power of God in his life. He knew that experience of God that was lasting. It wasn't there Sunday morning by Sunday afternoon because the cat's been sick and your slippers, it's gone. But something that is life-changing and transformation. It's a life becoming a thing, and that your life just becomes a thing full with praise and glory to God. And it's not just because your life is filled with good things, because, you know, bad things happen to good people. Have you noticed that? You know, but God doesn't change. He's still good in it. In the midst of our crisis and brokenness, he is good. And that is part of our story. The purpose about turning people and directing people to Jesus. Our time's gone. I just want to say a couple more things. God's love is amazing. It's a bit like, you know, when we say God's good. God's description of good is nothing like ours. And when we talk about love, his love is unlimited and unconditional. I am so grateful that God fills us with his love to love people. God has a simple plan to use ordinary people like me and you to take this great gospel message. It's therefore available to everyone that believes. It's simple, so, so simple. You know, some people think, you know, if you don't know Jesus today, and maybe in people you're sharing with, if you do know Jesus, you know, some people in there think, they think, if I can get this sorted, I can come to Jesus and become a Christian. Come as you are. He majors in sorting mess ups out. I am a living proof. Come as you are. Come sorted. Come on, so just come as you are. See, because it's him who's the Savior, not us. Don't stumble over this. Also, don't stumble over the fact that maybe your children or friends or your family who you've shared the gospel with for years have rejected it. Suddenly, if from nowhere, God brings breakthrough. That's my testimony with my family, mum, dad, mother-in-law, sisters, sister-in-law, nephews and nieces, friends and neighbors, and I'm a clumsy person sharing the gospel. But he is faithful. But you know what? My faith's very simple. I just know this. If I sow seed, there's a harvest. No farmer sows seeds thinking, I might get a harvest there. And he doesn't go, one seed. Lavish that seed. Lavish the goodness of what God is doing in your life. Use your story to show people that Jesus is real. Is that good? Yes. There's a real thing about, you know, God, he's a savior. He's a personal savior. He can break into anybody's life. I just want to use a couple of phrases just to tie this down and finish. God is great. God is good. And we need to be excited about the Great Commission given to us. It's just amazing. We can't do it, you know, We need the power of the Holy Spirit just loosed in us. We need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and we need to move in that. God takes sinners and declares them righteous. Isn't that wonderful? People who are made right with God. People are looking today for something. Every man is looking. Everybody on this planet is looking for something. And we could call it acceptance. To try and find out what is this all about? And we have the answer. We have this great message. We've been given a gospel worth believing. And it's one worth sharing. Let me say that again. We've been given a gospel worth believing and a gospel worth sharing. The same message that was able to save then can save now. God's not changed. There's no less power in that gospel message. God uses ordinary people like us to carry that message. Listen. All it needs is for those who know it and believe it and who have experienced it to share it with those who don't know it yet. Simple, isn't it? When we do what we can do, the Holy Spirit will come, because he's the one who brings conviction. He's the one who makes a way where there was no way. It's just simply amazing, this love of God that we have. Romans 10, 13 to 17, and I'll close with this. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that not great? Yes. Whoever. Just think, if it wasn't for the whoevers, well, I wouldn't be here. If there was any criteria, besides this biblical stuff that, you had to be good, or you had to have this or this, most of us would not be here. But it's for whoever's. And I thank God that, God will fill this church with whoever's, because that's who you're reaching out to. You look around your coffee shop, and I may come to your coffee shop more than some of you. You look around, it's full of whoever's. Yes. It's full of whoever's who need Jesus. And this is a great way to reach out to them. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. We've got this message. A few years ago, I was in Richmond, Virginia, and I'd gone fishing. I was learning how to fish, and I was on the James River. And I don't swim, and I walked out with my friend. I'm not scared of water, and it was about this high, waist high, walking out. And we were fishing. I was catching catfish and everything. I thought, this is easy, isn't it? And it was like somebody was putting them on the end. It was great. It was great fun. And when we were walking out, my friend said, just walk where I walk, And while we're fishing, I said, this is a great place. And he goes, yeah, people come here to commit suicide. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So after that, we're walking back. And as we walked back, he said, make sure you put your feet where I put my feet. And I thought I did. And I noticed the water was getting about that high. And there was a surge on the river. And it just washed me away from him. My friend's about 6'6" wide. He's massive. And all the fishing gear got washed away. And I'm like washed away from him. I don't swim at all. Do the drowning thing good. And he came after me, and he's trying to get me. And I was getting sucked under through these waves, because it's like these little rapid things. And there was four other guys with us, and all these four healthy young men. And they were jumping in. One's a doctor. And they couldn't get me out of this thing that was pulling me under. But the amazing thing was, every time I came up, I could see a lady here in a canoe. And on her canoe, she just stayed there. On her canoe, she had a life vest on. But on one end of it was two life jackets. And she did nothing. And my friend said to me, I can't get you out. That's not what you want to hear. And I just knew I wasn't going to die then. And I just screamed, I'm good at screaming. And it was a real something from within me, screamed out to God, help. And something quite miraculous happened, that the water started to, as heavy as it was, the flow of the river changed again. As quickly as it changed to drag me under, minutes later it changed again. And my friend was able to pick me up and throw me about a foot out of the, because it was still quite strong, and threw me a foot out of the water into something that was not as rapid. And I was able to struggle and cry. And I climbed up on these rocks and had a good cry. And just thank God. And I looked across and the lady was still there in her canoe. And I had to pray, God, forgive her. God, I want to release this lady. She had all that was needed to save my life. And she just didn't want to get involved. I'm not saying why she, I don't know why she didn't want to get involved. Maybe she thought I might scratch a canoe. I'm not saying she's a bad lady, she just could not get involved. We can't afford not to get involved. We've been given a great message. All that we need to see men and women around us come to faith. That's God's purpose in sending Jesus, to see mankind reconnected to him, reestablish that relationship for which mankind was created, to be in fellowship with God. Let's not be discouraged. Let's be confident. God, we're going to see a mighty move of your spirit in our land, yes, in our city, in our region, in Aintree, yes, in North Liverpool. It'll only happen if you connect with God, because the Great Commission wasn't given to Jesus, it was given to the church. That's you and me. Praise God. Thank you.